Day for a Mother's Day message. We're back to the Elijah effect today. As was mentioned, the passing of Melanie, for those that don't know then as well, Brandon had shared with us this morning that Ava's uncle was killed in an auto or a motorcycle accident this weekend as well. And Doug Brown had a friend that had been up at men's camp with us a couple times. David's his first name. I can't remember his last name right now. But anyway, he had passed away then this end of the week. So obviously, we've got families hurting. And so normally I don't do this, but let's just have a word of prayer for some hurting families at this time. Our Father and God in heaven, I just thank you for this time that we're able to be here today, but we come to you at this time just asking for comfort and strength and guidance and a pause of time for reflection. And we just pray for the Williamson family. Be with John, be with the daughters, also be with Leslie, all the extended family, and just give them the comfort that they need at this time with the passing of Melanie. Also then with Doug's friend, David, an embolism, just a reminder to us, life is fragile. We never know where and when you're going to require our life. And so then we just also then think of Ava's uncle situation there. We just pray, Lord, that the family would receive the comfort that they need, understanding. Just another young man, both these men just in their 40s. And so we would consider them young, and just we pray, Lord, that this would help us to reflect and to cause Warren in our life to be considering how fragile our life is, and that our time could be up before we know it. Help us to be wise in our decisions, as was talked about at our communion time, and not to be foolish, but to choose you, to love you, to honor you, to have you be our Lord, and most importantly, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing on the Elijah effect. 2 weeks ago, we had our a message entitled The Confrontation, and we looked slightly at, because as I told you today, we would also look again at the showdown at Mount Carmel. Yes, and for those out there, I did say Carmel. It is not caramel, okay? Just sharing that with you. Sometimes it's a difficult thing to see that extra A in caramel and not in Mount Carmel. Anyway, so as we look at that, Destiny's like, I still don't care. So there's going to this showdown. And so we've entitled this message up here in the top right-hand corner, The Connection. And so this is going to have a little, you would have thought maybe talking of the fiery showdown that Mount Carmel, that would be the confrontation. But remember, the confrontation started with Ahab and Jezebel and the nation of Israel really going against what God was offering. And so then we see now the connection here. And there's a the reason I really want to focus on this, and when we get there, I'll make mention of it. But because they're just, and I'm not saying you guys haven't thought of it. I just had never thought about it until studying for this, in prep for this, series. But anyway, we are, getting ready for the ultimate showdown, right? We used to have the guy, at least growing up when I was, you know, that, was usually sporting events that took place in a ring. He was always there. I think his last name was Buffer, if I remember right. But he would be like, let's get ready to rumble, Right? Do we remember that? And that's what was going to happen here. There was going to be a fight. There was going to be a showdown. So have you ever been in a situation where you had to either put up or shut up? Right? Then here we are. It's all come down to this. And that's exactly where Elijah on Mount Carmel finds himself. It wasn't just Elijah versus the false prophets. It's a test of whose God actually had the service to answer the call. Elijah wasn't just looking for a win. He was looking to reconnect a nation's heart to its creator. And that's the portion that I want to focus on that I had never really thought about. But it was the not just the reconnection, but that connection. That it's the 850 prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth against Elijah. But also you have to throw in the nation of Israel. They're not on Elijah's side. Matter of fact, he even gets on them, and we'll talk about that as we looked a couple of weeks ago. But when he says, how long will you hesitate? How long will you jump back and forth? How long will you limp between two opinions? Maybe that's the same question that could be asked to us today. We say we're Christians, but is it for an hour on Sunday? Or is it a continual life lived for Jesus Christ? So whether you feel like you're standing alone against a crowd of 850, or you're just trying to figure out which, and when I say this, which altar in your life needs repairing. Because I'll reference that. And so they have the showdown, remember? They have their altar that they build, the false gods, the false prophets. I mean, the false prophets there. They build their altar to the false gods, and nothing happens. But what I hadn't thought of, and was this, not this, just this reconnection, but that Elijah repaired their altar. There was an altar that was used to worship God. There was an altar that was there to bring glory and honor to God. And it consisted of 12 stones, and we know that means one stone represented each one of the tribes of Israel. And he brought them all back together. And so long before the fire comes down, long before the water is soaked on the rocks, long before the animals are cut up on this, the prophet Elijah tried to repair the connection between God and his people. Because see, we think that so many times we can just be living our life however we want, do whatever we want, and then stop and drop to our knees and come to God, and then everything is great. Now that's up to God, how that works. But there has to be some repairing of relationships. There has to be some repairing of conduct. And we're going to see that here this morning. And this is the connection that we all need. This lesson is designed to help you move from hesitation to a high voltage connection with the living God. First thing we want to talk about then is picking a party. Picking a party. In other words, choosing sides. Whose team are you going to be on? Right? Elijah didn't just show up for a small debate. He showed up for a heavyweight title fight. It was like last night on the MMA when Ronda Rousey fought that poor girl that lasted for a whole 17 seconds. Right? You know, you go and you imagine the people that, like, you know, rent that to watch the fight. and then it's over in 17 seconds. This was a title bout. This was winner take all. This is a reminder of all the things that are going on in the nation of Israel. He stood before the 850 false prophets. And we understand that we're going to face the enemy, right? We understand that Satan is against us, right? Here's the part that I think I struggle with. I think Elijah probably struggled with, that you probably struggle with. It's not the direct enemy that bothers us, because we know Satan's in for a fight. And so are we against him. But it's all of those nation of Israel, it's all the church today that are just sitting on the fence. That's what is frustrating. That's what is hard to swallow. That is what, as we look at here, for 1 Kings 18:24, I kind of thought the nation of Israel kind of falls into the phrase Josh was using this morning of moronic, because they sit there and it's almost like, you know, the gods of Baal and Ashtaroth, and they'll say to them, and then they'll be like, ooh, yeah, that's right, that's good stuff. And then when Elijah would preach and say something, they'd be like, ooh, that's good stuff. And they just kept going back and forth, and it's like, come on, stand for something, right? We've all heard, stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And so we need to make sure that we say, well, anyway, so 1 Kings 18:24, then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, right? Normally we look at that and we in scripture, and when we follow that, and all God's people said, they say amen. These people said, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. That sounds good to us, right? Because they still didn't know. They hadn't made up in their mind. They haven't been persuaded. They were hesitant. But you know what? We've got people that are sitting in this crowd this morning that are hesitant to fully obey the word of God. You are choosing between two opinions. And we're gonna, by the end of this lesson, show you that God is and always will be victorious. It's not a matter of him teaming up with you. It's a matter of you leaving the bad behind and joining him, coming to his side. And so as we look at that, you know, that's a good idea. Let's do that. You know, that's what they said. Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord with the 12 stones. This was a physical act of remembering their identity as a unified people under one God. Sometimes it happens in the church. It definitely happened in the nation of Israel. We forget who we are. And maybe number one is we forget whose we are. We need to be reminded of that. We need to remember that. Imagine the scene, one guy against 850. Those aren't great odds unless you're in an action movie. Or you've got God on your side. Remember, as we finished off our sermon 2 weeks ago, that we are a majority when it's us and God, right? Because God's the majority, even if we're not there. He's still the majority. Elijah even started trash-talking the false prophets when Baal didn't answer, suggesting their God might be stuck in traffic, taking a nap. And all sorts of different translations say all sorts of different things. But as one of them even gets to in the original Hebrew, the word sieg, right, means to be occupying the porcelain throne. Okay? But you know how most verses translate that? Is wandering or pursuing something. But the actual word there for sieg means to withdraw into a private place, or if you don't understand what that might mean, defecation is the word there. And so when you look at that and you see that, so this is a pretty harsh, I mean, he's trash talking him, right? You know, he's like, well, is he maybe he's a little plugged up today? Ooh, you know, hey, as a preacher, you're not supposed to use potty humor, but when the prophet does, I use it to the best of my ability, okay? And so as we look at that and we see these things, he's really tearing down these false gods, this false, and what the false prophets are doing. But even as we stop and look through the course of history, we can pick out several different events. One that came to my mind was, think of the Wright brothers. Everyone told them that flying was for the birds, literally, right? But they kept tinkering until they caught the fire of flight at Kitty Hawk there in North Carolina. They had a connection to a truth that no one else saw yet. And that's the way we have to look at it. We live in a world where you have a lot of people in your life that has not come in contact, that have not seen the power of Jesus yet. Yet. Right? And so we need to be patient and get ready to show that to them. James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18 says this, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And that's one of the things I love about Elijah. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. That's pretty close to 3.5 years, people. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. His power didn't come from being a superhero. His power came from the same place ours will, and that is in persistent, consistent prayer. Elijah prayed. Elijah didn't say, I'm going to cause the clouds to shut up. He prayed. It wasn't about him. It was about talking to God. And he prayed that would happen. And it did. So I have to ask, are we hesitating over two opinions? Maybe in our own lives it's a struggle. I know I need to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. Because there's no way he can be your Savior until you make him your Lord. So you need to make him the Lord of your life, and I just keep struggling with that. Well, here's what I want to encourage you with. You do not have to be perfect to come to Jesus. You know why? Because nobody's perfect, right? I hear so many times people say, well, I just got to work on this. I just got to get a little bit better at that. No, come to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit help that struggle that you have. And does that mean you're going to be perfect after that? No, because we are men like Elijah, and we have a nature like his, and we're going to do things wrong, but the Lord is there to help us. The Lord is there to help us. We cannot be the fence setters. We cannot keep one foot in the world and one foot in the Word and not expect to get painful splinters in some very sensitive places. Right? It's going to happen. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. We have to make the choice. Get off the fence. Get off of the world side and get in to Jesus. Secondly, then, this morning is the proof in the presence. The proof in the presence. Not just a matter of picking a party, but the proof in the presence. This challenge was simple. The God who answers by fire is the real deal. Oh yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. That's what they said. Elijah didn't just pour a little water on his sacrifice. He turned his altar into a swimming pool. They poured water and poured water and poured water and poured water on it again. Right? And so as we look at that, he didn't just pour a little water on his sacrifice. He wanted to make sure that everyone around him understood whose God was the God. He wanted there to be zero doubt that when fire fell, it was an act of God. And not just an accident, workplace safety hazard that happened. You know, if Elijah were around today, he'd probably be the guy who pours a gallon of lighter fluid on the grill and then ask, "Is that all you got?" He made it impossible for the fire to be anything other than divine. When the fire of the Lord fell, it didn't just burn the meat. It consumed the wood. It consumed the stones. It consumed the dirt, the soil, and even licked up the water in the trench. God doesn't just show up, people, in your lives. God wants to take over. Do we get it? He wants to lead you. He is calling you home. He wants you to be with Him. In Hebrews 12:29, we looked at this passage of Scripture 2 weeks ago, and it's a good reminder of us again that our God is a consuming fire. And at this time, we want to be on the side of that consuming fire. There's going to be a time when this world comes to an end, when our God is a consuming fire, that we don't want to be on that side. Because then the ultimate judgment will take place. Just as the fire consumed the doubt of the people on Mount Carmel, God's presence in our life is meant to refine us and burn away the dross of distractions. In other words, burn away all the impurities. Take all those things that we can't get out of our life on our own, that we're trying, that we want to, but we just need something divine. Maybe God's help. Maybe the Word of Jesus. Maybe the Holy Spirit in our life. You ever stop to think that maybe we offer God our wet wood of our lives? That we give Him our excess baggage and excuses? And then we expect Him to light a fire anyway? Have we ever stopped to consider what stones of old habits in our lives need to be consumed by His presence today? Thirdly, purpose over popularity. Elijah's goal wasn't to be influencer of the year. He wasn't, "Hey, take a look at my TikTok," right? He wasn't saying, "Check out my YouTube video." He wanted to reconnect. We talked about that in the beginning. Reconnect. We talked about that in our first point then of repairing the altar. He wanted to reconnect the hearts of a nation to their Creator. Elijah went from a mountaintop victory to a marathon sprint. Because remember what happened then? Took off running and outran King Ahab's chariot. That'd have been a sight to see, right? He was essentially the first Olympic track star fueled by holy adrenaline and the need to get away from a grumpy Queen Jezebel. The goal of fire wasn't destruction, it was restoration. As soon as the fire fell, the people fell on their faces and cried. Oh, you know, that would go back to remember, that would be a good idea. That would be a good idea. And when the fire fell, when the message of God came, if they would have had their King James Bible authorized by Paul, they would have opened that up, right? And they would have obeyed what it said. And so that's what happened. The fire fell. They fell to the ground and they cried. You know, there'll be a day when if we're not in Christ, that we will fall to the ground, because we're told that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and we will cry and we will weep and we will gnash our teeth together and we'll be cast out into the outer darkness, separated from Him for all eternity. We need to find a purpose in our life rather than just being popular with the world. 1 Kings 18:39. Just part of that says, "The Lord, He is God." Wouldn't that be a good thing for all of us to say here this morning? The Lord, He is God. One more time. The Lord, He is God. Isn't it much better to say that of our own free will than to be forced into that? This has to connect us to Romans 12:1 then, right? "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." We don't need a physical fire on a mountain. You know why? Because those of us that are Christians, those of us that have been obedient to what Jesus has asked us to do, those that have went down into the water sinners and arose to walk in the newness of life and to be a child of God, we don't need fire to fall down onto some mountain. We've got the Holy Spirit within us. And that is something to be excited about. You know, at the end of the day, Elijah's story isn't just about a historical fire on a physical mountain. It's really about the fire of conviction in our own hearts. You know, that's a good idea, whichever one happens. See, that's what we need to today, is to move beyond that and be convicted that when we see false prophets, false teachers, that when we see false gods being promoted and lifted up, we don't have to say, "Well, let's see." Because we've got Jesus. We've been washed in His blood. We have been purchased and redeemed by His power. We have to be convicted in our own hearts. You know, there are times in our lives today, though, that God does turn up the fire a little bit. He just wants to see. You know, on our podcast, Josh Fennell and I, a few weeks ago, had going through the fire, being saved from the fire, being saved through the fire. And I hadn't really thought about it until we were working on that. But, you know, the three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, that went into the fire had already decided, because they made the statement, whether God protects us or not, we're gonna praise and obey Him. And so as we look at that this morning, again, isn't it better to do it on our terms? We know it's going to have to happen. Let's do it while we can give Him free praise. The conviction. They already had to step out. We need to repair the connection. We need to stop hesitating. As you go into your week, into this week, we don't know if we're going to be given a Tuesday. And I'm not talking about just your life coming to it. The Lord could return. But maybe He just calls your time up. Don't hesitate. Go into your week. Remember that you don't need to manufacture the flame. You just need to stay connected to the One who provides it. May your life be a sacrifice that points everyone who sees it back to the true creator. And that's what Elijah just kept wanting to put them back to God. Belief isn't just about what you think. It's about who you trust when the stakes are high. It's about who you trust and believe in when the world is watching. When the fire fell, it wasn't just the sacrifice that was consumed. Think about this. It wasn't just the wood. It wasn't the rocks. It wasn't the water. When that fire fell from heaven, those people that said, hey, let's see what happens, their doubts were consumed. And Jesus, or God at that time, we'll see, was declared the winner. And he always is. God is still in the business of answering our requests today. So church, let's do our best to keep our connection with our Savior, the God of the universe, the creator of all. Keep that connection alive. Maybe you're here this morning, you're outside of Jesus Christ. We already said it in our message. Quit hesitating between two opinions. Well, should I or shouldn't I? I can literally tell you it's a heaven or hell decision. Come to Jesus before it's too late. Believe in Jesus, that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And to arise to walk in a new life. To gain the Holy Spirit as our guide and our comforter. And then do our best to live faithful for him. Don't go away from a mountaintop fire experience and not know who you're serving. For the Lord, he is our God. Be faithful till the very end. Will you stand?